Welcome back to Over the Next Hill Fitness Podcast. I'm Carla Coffey, your coach and host of today's episode. This episode is sponsored by CoffeeCrewCoaching.com. Today, we have with us Denny Cray. Denny is a coach, a podcaster, YouTuber, and ultramarathoner. Welcome to the show, Denny.
Hey, Carla. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
We are excited to have you. I invited you to the show today, Denny, because I want to hear all about heart rate training. I know that that's something that you've been doing for a while. I just started doing technically heart rate training. I've always been under the theory that to get faster, you have to run slower. So I was kind of doing it in a roundabout way, but now I actually have the heart rate monitor and I really follow it. How did you get started?
I kind of came in the side door on heart rate training. I've been coaching runners for a while, and I mean, gosh, it was probably 2017, 2018. I had one of the athletes I was coaching with was asking me about kind of the low fat fueling, kind of like low carb, high fat. I'm sorry, not low fat, low carb, high fat. So kind of, you know, a little bit counterintuitive to what a lot of folks do with carb load and things like that. And I was like, I mean, I know it works, but I don't know enough of the details about it to feel comfortable coaching about it. So I started getting some books and reading some things about it. And there was a lot of overlap between heart rate training and just slowing down and getting comfortable running slow, building your aerobic base, and how that kind of leads towards fat adaption, which is kind of a pretty key piece of the puzzle if you're not having a lot of carbs in your diet. And so the more I was reading about it and the more I was, as you know, communicating with the lady that I was coaching and was asking these questions, I was like, I mean, this heart rate training thing sounds like it could be a pretty important piece of the puzzle. And so ultimately, like, I just decided to try it for myself before I started really talking about it too much and kind of maybe going over the top sometimes of saying that it's a really effective way of training, because I think it is, but I don't think it's necessarily the right thing for everybody. But that was how I got into it, was reading about being more of a fat adapted athlete and a low carb endurance athlete, and how important it was to do most of your training miles at a relatively low intensity, because that burns more use more body fat for fuel. And then, you know, as they say, dot, 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 here we are. And, you know, that was, I think, 2017, 2018, like it was December, January. So it was kind of right at the turn of the year. But man, it's been five and a half, 6 years now. And it's time flies when you're having fun, but it's really changed the way that I run and kind of changed the way I coach, I think, as well.
So a benefit is more fat burning is one major benefit. How does the heart rate aspect fit into making you a better or faster runner? How does that work?
So what ends up happening is you become more aerobically efficient. So when you're running, you know, at whatever pace and your heart rate's lower, you have less lactic acid buildup. There's less, I don't want to say less stress and strain on the body, because you're still working and it's still obviously a physical activity and there's still fatigue that builds up, but it just takes longer to kind of get to that point where you're really fading and you're really fatigued and you're really, you know, worn down. So what happens is that maybe you don't technically get faster, you know, whatever your top sprint speed is, like you're probably not faster. I'm probably not faster now than I was 6 years ago in terms of like 100 meter dash time, but I don't run too many 100 meter dashes, so I'm not worried about it. But what has really been the game changer for me is that my endurance is light years better, and that I'm able to run at a moderately difficult pace on race day for a lot longer without slowing down. And even though I start to feel like I'm getting tired, and like, you know, at the end of a half marathon or the end of a marathon, I'll be like, gosh, like I feel like I'm slowing down. Look down at my watch and I haven't slowed down. And maybe I've even sped up a little bit, you know, compared to where I was at the start of the race and trying to pace myself and things like that. So what ultimately ends up happening is that maybe technically you're not faster, but you don't slow down as much as race miles pile up. So ultimately you're able to hold a faster or a speedier average pace from start to finish line, which, you know, if you're pacing yourself well and kind of pushing but not going overdoing it too much, results in a faster finish time, even if technically your top speed which you probably are never really getting to. You're not sprinting in a half marathon or even probably a 5K very often.
Sure.
So even if your top speed doesn't change, your overall pace is able to be maintained at a higher level, if that makes sense, without going around in the circle too many times.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So how long were you doing the heart rate training before you started noticing some results?
So I like I said, I started, I think like right around December 1st of 2017. And I said I was going to commit to it for the entirety of the next year. So I guess I was giving myself 13 months of, you know, we're going to do it. And if it doesn't seem like it's working in a year, then we'll kind of get back off to more of this. I was kind of doing, I guess, maybe a loose 80-20. So I was doing a little bit more regular hard workouts, but still trying to keep my easy days mostly easy. And a couple months in, like early part of February, I was running a half marathon. I hadn't done any speed work, but I had, you know, a decent chunk of base mileage at that point. And I was like, I don't know what to expect for how this half marathon is going to go. It was a trail half marathon too, which was a whole other aspect of like, I don't know what pace is realistic or whatever. I was like, I hope I can run. Like, I think I can run 2 hours. I think my half PR at that time was on the roads was like a low 150, 154, 153, something like that. So I was like, I mean, maybe, you know, 2 hours, like probably doable, but it's trail and I don't know. And I don't know what this training thing is doing. And I just set out and ran, and I wasn't keeping my heart rate in the zones for the race. I was just going to run kind of comfortably hard, treat it as a race, and see what happens. And I ended up running, I think 154, 155, something. I mean, it wasn't a PR, but it was certainly wasn't even close to two. I mean, it was close to 2 hours, but it wasn't like I was counting seconds to get under 2 hours. And I don't feel like I really faded. I just kind of ran steady pretty much throughout the race. And at that point I was like, I don't know that it was a massive sign that it was working, but it was definitely I haven't slowed down. Like, I haven't lost anything in 2 months of just running easy. And at that point, and maybe this is something we'll get into a little bit more as the conversation goes, my easy running was, you know, there was a lot of walking mixed in to keep my heart rate in check as well. And so it was kind of like, I've walked a bit more than I would have of what I thought felt easy because my heart rate was saying I needed to slow down. And there was no negative impact on this half marathon race. So maybe we've got something here. And that was kind of the first, like, I think we might have something. And then throughout the year, it was just like, not that I run a lot of races, but every time I'd push myself, every time I would do a race, it was like, yep, we're maybe just a touch faster. Or we feel better. The training's going well. And it just kind of snowballed from there, I guess. I mean, snowballed is maybe a overstatement because it was a slow burn. It was a slow process, but it felt like everything was positive. Everything was moving in the right direction. And maybe it was slow progress, but it was progress. And that was, you know, really probably 6 months in, I was like, yeah, I don't need to wait a year to commit to this. Like, this is working and I just need to stick with it.
Right. Yeah. I noticed for myself for marathons, that, and I also do a run walk. I started doing that a couple years ago. Consistently, like I run 5.5 minutes, walk 30 seconds through the whole race. And my time is for the finish never got any slower. I felt right. Better at the end.
Right.
And my heart rate doesn't jack up anymore. So it that kind of stuff does work. It really does. So how do you determine your heart rate? So is it determined by age, by gender, both? How would you determine what heart rate you want to stay under?
So I definitely operate under the, you know, the keep it simple, stupid type of principle. And there's a half a dozen different formulas out there and different ways to determine heart rates. And they all pretty much come up to be within one or two beats of each other. And you know, to me, that's, you know, any of those are probably close enough. Some people are always going to try to default to whatever gives you the most, you know, if the options are, you know, try to stay below 140 or 142, well, I'll pick the formula that says 142. I just go with, like I said, the simple method. Is kind of founded by or credited to Dr. Phil Maffetone, which was the book I was reading that was all about the heart rate stuff. When I talk about the low carb training, it was a lot of Maffetone stuff in there as well. And his formula is just 180 minus age. So I think I was, I don't know, 36, 37 at the time. So I just, you know, 180 minus age was 143. I guess I must have been 37. So it was, you know, 143. We just set it and you know, anytime I'm under 143, I'm where I need to be. And if I'm over 143, then I need to dial it back a little bit. And like, I even like punched into some of the other formulas where there is, you know, age and gender and this and that and the other. And like, you know, like I said, there might be ones that were 144 and there were ones that were 141. And I was just like, man, close enough. And then I'd run well below that. I'd run 5 or 6 beats below it anyway, just to make sure I was well in the aerobic zone. But yeah, you can get overcomplicated. In my opinion, you can maybe be more exact, but the difference is negligible. So I just kind of keep it simple. And there's a couple different alterations in terms of like, if you've been injured or if you've been training for a long time, you can maybe add a few beats or subtract a few beats to that formula to tweak it a little bit more. And he does say that kind of once you get, if you're a younger athlete, so if you're, you know, high school athlete, like below 15, 16 years old, they'd probably just go with 160, like just basically a 180 minus 20 and just don't go any farther than that. And if you're over 60, they kind of say at that point, it starts to get to be too much anyway. So keeping it at 120 is, you know, no matter how old you are, is probably okay. And of course you can always color outside the lines a little bit and kind of find the right mix for you. But, for a lot of folks, that 180 minus age seems to line up pretty good, even though it can be humbling because you like, well, gosh, I don't feel like I'm running very hard. And now I need to stop. My heart rate's already up at 150 and, it takes some getting used to, but that's how I determine my zones, because it's just the easiest.
How was that when you first got started, for your ego? For myself, when I decided I was really going to get into it, I took myself off Strava because it was a little, I guess I was embarrassed for people to see how much I was walking, how much I had slowed down, you know, and I was like, well, I don't want people to be watching how bad, quote unquote, that I'm doing. Right. How was that for you?
It was tough. I think that what made it a little bit easier was that I had whatever level of whatever that I am. I was 3 or 4 years into the podcast at that time. I was a handful of years into coaching at that time. So like, I kind of, I guess, put it out there as like, I'm going to do this as an experiment and like y'all can follow along. So I think that made it a little bit easier because it was, you know, for however many couple of people that might follow me on Strava at the time, like a lot of them probably also listened to the show. So like they, at least in my mind, it was a little bit less of an ego hit because I'm running an experiment. Like this is the experiment that we're doing and it's somewhat known. But I would be lying if I said that it wasn't also a little bit of like, goodness, you know, like I felt like I was running at 8:30 pace and that was easy. And now all of a sudden like 11:30 and I'm having to walk some because even at 11:30, like my heart rate's getting up into that, you know, mid to upper 140 range. And so I've got to walk. And now my first mile might be 11 minute pace. Then my second mile is 12 minutes. And now I'm into 13s and obviously nothing, no shame in any pace for anybody.
Sure.
But when a month ago I thought that 8:30 was easy and now my heart rate's saying that 12:30 isn't easy. Like there was a little bit of what am I getting myself into here? For sure.
Yeah. I ran into that a lot. And I still, some days, I feel like, wow, why is my heart rate, you know, jacking up so much? But I'm thinking, for myself, sometimes I feel like my heart rate really will spike if I haven't had enough sleep or if maybe I'm a little overtrained for that week. Is that a factor?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think sometimes we as runners, heart rate training or otherwise, we get into our heads that like every aspect of our life is like its own separate thing. You know, there's work and then there's family and then there's whatever, there's running and there's this and there's that and there's other. And we forget that we're an ecosystem and everything impacts everything else. And so, you know, if you're burning the midnight oil a little bit because it's a busy time at work or it's busy time at what it's the holidays or whatever, there's life stress or there's this and there's that and there's the other, you're overtrained, you had a good strength workout, like whatever. That all impacts your heart rate for your run the next day. And if you're really going to buy into the heart rate training, you can't just say, oh, well, I've just been a little bit stressed. And so whatever, like you just need to humble yourself if that's what it takes and swallow your pride and just be like, all right, well, you know, we're going to walk more today, or we're going to run a minute per mile slower than we normally would, or whatever it takes to keep your heart rate in check. And you know, for whatever my N equals one is worth and the experience that I have with helping others and working with others that are into heart rate training, it does tend to work out pretty well in the long term, but it can be frustrating in the short term. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was very frustrated the other day, cause I don't get a lot of sleep and I had gone out for my run and my heart rate monitor just kept beeping and I kept walking and I let it go down. I'd start again. And I was so frustrated. I texted my husband cause we had made plans for later on after the long run. And I said, I'm coming home. This is too frustrating. I can't keep my heart rate down. And I was just irritated by it, you know? So I did, I turned around and went, I think I did maybe 4 miles and I probably had 16 on the calendar, but it's like, yeah. So sometimes I can get very frustrated by it.
But well, and sometimes, you know, sometimes that's the way to do it. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes it'd be the exception to the rule, but sometimes you just say the hell with it and you just run. You know, if that's what you need and your heart rate's going to be high that day, and maybe you turn the heart rate monitor off or you turn the alerts off or you just ignore them. And, you know, that day it's just going to be, you know, you're going to, heart rate's not going to be, but in the big picture, it's okay. You know, one day, sure. Especially if you're not racing a bunch of times or whatever, like you just, we'll just pretend it was like a race and on race day you go anyway. So, but yeah, sometimes you just got to shut it down. And sometimes you just got to say whatever and go. And that's, you know, that's what you need. And that's what you need.
Yeah. We, recently, I think it's been 2 weeks now. We had some 80s here in Wisconsin, which is rare this time of year. Cause we are back down into the 40s and 50s again. I mean, it just kind of spiked and I noticed the heat affected my heart rate, but it was so sunny and glorious out. I kind of did that. I shut things off or ignored it. And it's like, I don't care. It's too beautiful to turn around. Is heat a factor for most people? Yeah.
Heat is a factor because especially as you start getting hot and humid. I live in Georgia now and I was in Florida for the better part of 20 years. So I guess I've been and from Michigan originally. So I'm used to nice weather. And then I'm also very much used to hot and humid and summers that never end. When you get the hot and the humid and you're trying to run and your body's trying to, like, your body's working harder to cool itself and it's struggling because it's 85 degrees and it is 95% humidity. And like, you know, your heart rate's beating high because it's trying to send blood to the surface of your skin while also sending blood to your muscles to power the running. So yeah, there's that's definitely a factor, and you got to slow down when it's hot. You know, coffee can be a factor. I used to be a have to have a half a pot of coffee before a run kind of guy, and then you know the caffeine does things. So now I'm get some water, get my run in, and then we dive into the coffee like it's going out of style. But you know, that's just one other factor that can make it a little harder to keep your heart rate in check. And you know, digestion. If you got to eat before you run, you got to eat before you run. Like that's but. If you're eating, that's another process that could cause your heart rate to be elevated a little bit. So there's a lot of elemental factors. There's a lot of just elemental insights of, you know, the ecosystem of your body factors that can impact your heart rate and can be frustrating at times for sure.
I hadn't thought about the eating. I had thought about the coffee, but yeah, I'm going to just have to allow that because
I have at least
one cup before I go out. Yeah. So when you had kind of mentioned about the 80-20 with your training, I follow that fairly regular as well. I'm sometimes even more of a 90-10 because I enjoy just a nice slow run, but I will get my speed workout or hill workout, in there. Which brings me to the hills, when you're doing your slower runs and you come up to a hill and your heart rate starts to spike, you just shut it down and walk up that hill?
Yeah, pretty much. Or ultimately what I tend to do a lot is when I'm kind of at a place, I guess, with my fitness now where, my pretty easy casual pace, like my heart rate's probably in the 120s and I'm 41 now. So by my math, that means I can be up to 139. So I'm kind of able to just cruise most of the hills here that are in the neighborhood now. And my heart rate will go up. It'll go up to 135, 136, but able to stay within below that. And then once I get to the crest of the hill and it comes back down into the 120s, and we're kind of good to go. But yeah, ultimately if I have a real hill to climb up and the heart rate starts going up, then yeah, it's just, you know, power hike it, walk it, whatever we got to do, to try to keep the heart rate in check. unless, you know, to your point, if it's one of the I do some speedier workout days once in a while as well. And so on those days, and just hammer and don't worry about it because that's the goal for the day. But if it's an easy day, you get to a hill, just, you know, and if it's a long run day, that's a good time to get some water and take a little bit of fuel if you're fueling or whatever kind of works for you. Like, it's a good opportunity because you're just walking up the hill anyway.
Yeah. So with the thought of the I'm going to be circling around a couple times because you bring things that make me have questions. Did you do the fueling and hydrating change to the low carb at the same time as this? And how did that affect how you managed all of that? Because that seems like there was a lot of balls in the air for that. You were really juggling a lot of different experiments at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely was. And I definitely did. I don't know that they overlapped exactly perfectly, but they were pretty close because, like I said, I was reading this book about, it's called Primal Endurance, if anybody's curious. But it was all about, you know, low carb as a way of fueling for endurance athletes. And so as I was I was reading it for that. And then this heart rate training idea was kind of, and it wasn't ancillary, but that wasn't my focus at the time. And all of a sudden, like, I'm reading it and it's like these two work really well together. And so it was just like, well, I'm going to experiment with it. Let's rock and roll. And to be fair, I'm by a lot of margins, I'm probably relatively a low carb athlete still. But I'm not anybody's definition of, like, you know, hardcore keto, paleo, like whatever, like, you know, I had Girl Scout cookies last night. Like, you know, it's not like, I'm towing the line perfectly about never having carbs, but I don't eat a lot of bread. I don't eat a lot of pasta. Like a lot of those type of things I kind of refrain from. I'm not afraid of fruit. I'm not afraid of starchy vegetables and potatoes and things like that. But yeah, I kind of went down both of those tracks of cutting down on the carbs quite a bit. And also slowing down and embracing heart rate training simultaneously. And I think they work really well together. I think you can I think you can do one or the other independent of each other, but I think the heart rate training independent of the low carb is probably easier than low carb independent of heart rate training. Cause if you're hammering, but not having the carbs, that's where you're probably going to really struggle with how you're feeling and lethargy and feeling like you're regressing. But maybe that's a different topic for another day. I don't know if you wanted to get into that or not. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, we might get into that. So because my question is, you don't have to be low carb to do heart rate training, but if you're going to be low carb, the heart rate training really helps.
Yes. That's a perfectly succinct way to put it, which if you know me, perfectly and succinct it's like oil and water. We don't do perfect and succinct around here. We do long and drawn out and confusing more often than not.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I got that right. So for me, and it sounds like for you too, when, you're doing your 80% of your easy, it's easy, but on your hard day, you throw the heart rate out the window, right? That's the purpose of the work day, is you're working hard. So yeah. When it's an easy day, you're easy. When it's a hard day, you're hard.
Yeah. I will typically still wear my heart rate monitor simply to see what my heart rate gets to, but there's no restrictions. There's no worry about, oh my gosh, we're going hard. We're going hard and period. And the heart rate is just along for the ride at that point.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I do as well. I still wear it because I still want to know, you know, how it spiked and whatever. Is there a huge, the word isn't difference that I'm looking for, but how do you feel it would be different for a trail runner versus a road runner? Because I feel like on the roads we can, I don't want to go down that way. There's a hill and I'll have to walk more, right? If I'm getting into this, but on the trails, you're kind of stuck with what you get. Do you feel like there's a bigger difference for trail runners if they wanted to get started into something like this?
I feel like the physics of running on the trail is more difficult, especially if it's a softer trail. So it can be, I don't want to say more difficult, but it can be more of a hit to the ego perhaps. because at least in my experience, like, I have a harder time keeping my heart rate down on, especially on, like I said, on softer trails. versus on the road, just because you have to work harder to, you know, there's transfer of energy and yada, 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 all the physics of the softer surface. So it can be more difficult. And then, yeah, you start throwing more terrain into the mix, and you can't avoid you can turn right or turn left on the road, but on the trail, like, you're just going, and you gotta take what you can get. And if what you get is some monster sandhill, that's going to wreck the heart rate. At least, you know, not wreck it, but it's going to be a pill you have to swallow, and you're probably gonna have to walk, and your heart rate still might go up higher than you want it to. But I still, you know, will stand by that. It still works. It's just, yeah, there's maybe an extra layer of challenge on the trails that you can kind of avoid on the roads, with hopefully staying to the flatter parts of town, things like that, the trail, you get what you get and adjust accordingly.
Okay. But it can be done if they really want to do it, it can be done. Okay.
Yep. For sure.
All right. So did you have any big setbacks along the way with your heart rate training, or do you feel like it's kept you from being injured? What has been your thing on that?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's a certain amount of revisionist history in here, and who knows how it would have played out if I, you know, had I continued with the kind of standard training that I was doing. But I mean, I've had one, I don't even know if that it was, I don't think that it was a running injury, but I've had one maybe injury in the last 6 years. Haven't really had any burnout. And previous to that, like, I mean, it almost seemed like every year you get towards the end of the year and I was just like over it. And I'd take a month or two off because I just needed a break. And I mean, I've been as consistent as I've been. I've felt as strong as I've been. Again, you know, knock on wood, but I think I think the one kind of foot issue I had was actually more of trying to be too aggressive with preventative injury type of stuff, and just being too aggressive with rolling on the golf balls and things like that. I think I irritated something that way. So yeah, I mean, you know, again, my N equals one is my N equals one, but I really haven't had any injuries. I've made pretty steady progress. Now, could I have made more rapid progress, especially early, if I was hammering more? Probably. But has it been more sustained, I think, progress and a good progression, and hopefully the trajectory is continuing that way for, you know, the foreseeable future. I think it's really been, for me, without question, the right way. It's been a massive positive, no burnout, no major injuries. And just kind of feel like it's, you know, again, I'm biased. I admit my bias to it. It's not necessarily for everybody, but I think if you give it a fair shake, I think you see benefit. I think it's a pretty good likelihood that any runner is going to see a benefit from it. And even if you don't go quite as all in as I do, but you make it more of an 80-20, but that 80, you're committed to keeping it easy, whether you use heart rate or not. But that's probably the most fair way to judge, because I thought easy was 8:30 and my heart rate said easy was 12:30. Mm-hmm. And maybe I was a little bit wrong at that point of what I thought easy was versus what my body was telling me. So, but yeah, back to your question, it's, I've been as healthy and as happy with my running as I've probably ever been before. And for what I think there's a big reason for that is just slowing down and not being beat up all the time from every single run that I go on.
Yeah, I find that too. I haven't had as many injuries since I slowed down. And for me, because I'm a little bit older than you, with the run walk has just made a huge difference for me. I don't have as much recovery time like after a race. And I've been playing with the numbers now on like how long I run. And it's always for the walk for me, 30 seconds, just because I'm bored and ready to go again. But I play around with the run time, and now with the heart rate, I really feel pretty awesome. And like you said, I haven't felt burned out. It really works for me, and I'm sure it's not for everybody, but I really encourage those people that are like moderate runners. They run the same speed every time they go out, to try something, even if it's right. Just go easier and have the, you know, the 80-20, I feel they'll see more progress than trying to hammer all the time. You know, it really works for me, and obviously it works for you. How about your athletes? Do you subscribe them to it?
I don't force anybody to do heart rate training, but I definitely, I don't know that I can say I force, but all, like, the majority of their runs are definitely classified as easy. you know, and some people, they lock into the heart rate and they use that as their easy metric. Some people it's, you know, can I talk and carry on a conversation, or they have some type of idea of what paces look like easy, which, you know, again, maybe those aren't perfect, but it's better than when I can look at it and go, all right, here are the easy days and here's a hard day, and there's, and they don't look the same. That's what we want. We want the easy days to definitely look slower and easier, and the hard days, we want to get after it. And so that's kind of how I come at it, is because ultimately everybody wants to have fun, and you know, you can't, I'm not going to pretend like slowing down and swallowing your pride is always fun. It hasn't always been fun for me. And for some folks, that it's just like they've tried it and they're, you know, they get a couple months in and they're like, I just don't want to run right now. And I'm like, well, then stop worrying about your heart rate and just go run and enjoy it. And we'll worry about whatever fallout comes at that point. And then they start having fun, and they, you know, then we just worry, hey, does it feel easy? Cool. Perfect. And then we're going to go hard the next time and find the balance that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me, because you said you don't make anybody. I don't either. I want to make my athletes do what I say. I'd like them to just do a couple strength training workouts for me when I put it in their schedule, but you know, what do I know? But I really feel that if a couple of them would slow down and do what I ask, they might see better progress, you know, but I don't know anything.
Well, and then sometimes, you know, it's like you can mention it a few times, and then they have to have, I hate to say it this way, there has to be an issue, or there has to be a poor race performance or something like that. And they go, wait a second, maybe we should try this. You know, and maybe you can come at it from a different angle, or they can kind of, you have a different perspective. And then, because there's been a few of those folks where it's, you know, you work with them for 6 or 8 months and you're kind of keep hammering on it, and we don't quite get there. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, I think I need to be serious about listening to you and slowing down like you're asking me to do. And then, you know, not that it works out perfect every time, but a lot of times, and there's like a few months later, there's that breakthrough of like, wow, this really does work, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's almost like I know what I'm talking about.
Almost. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really frustrating for me. I give them a hard workout, and their hard workout that I've given them doesn't look much different than their easy workout, because their easy workout wasn't easy. You know, right. So I'm like, hello, are you seeing the numbers that I'm seeing? So yeah, it's a little frustrating once in a while. So for anybody who wants to get started, the first thing they need to do is figure out what that highest heart rate should be, right? With the math, 180 minus their age.
Yep. That's the formula I use. I mean, you could, you know, if you've got a Garmin or, you know, various different sports watches that come in with like the different pre-programs, like you put your age in there, but then it kind of tells you what your zones are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could go just zone two, you know, zone one, zone two, as long as you're kind of below kind of that threshold for zone three, usually you're probably, that usually tends to align with your 180. So maybe that's even the more keep it simple than my math, you know, like you don't even need to do any math. You just to follow what your watch says and keep it in zone two. But yeah, kind of figure out what your zones are. Or, you know, for me, it's just one zone. It's I'm either below the line or above the line. But that's an important first step for sure.
Okay. And then what would you recommend after that? How, I know you were going to give it a year. So how long would you tell them to try it? And what other things and advice and would you tell them for their, if they're just going to get started with it?
You know, I think my classic answer for all questions are that it depends, because obviously everybody's different and everybody's, you know, kind of situation is different.
Oh, wait, hold on. I just have to say, I know on your podcast, when we say it depends, we drink, right?
That's a drinking.
All right, everybody.
It's become, you know, but chug a log, everybody.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, because if I were to say you give it 3 months, well, for the person that's running 5 or 6 times a week versus the person that's running 2 or 3 times a week, 3 months is a very different, like that's a different amount of training that you're getting.
Got
you know,
it.
And also it's different for, and again, there's no shame in it. There's no judgment, but if you're running 20 miles a week, you're running 60 miles a week and you give it 3 months, that's a different training volume that shakes out there as well. So yeah, not that you need to have X number of miles or anything like that. I don't want to get that granular,
sure.
But if you're running a few times a week and your volume is 15, 20 miles a week, that's great. That's a great place to build your base. But it's going to take you longer to see a payoff from any type of training, but especially from something like heart rate training, than if you're really into it for 40, 50, 60 miles a week and you're running 5, 6, 7. Not that I don't like the streakers, but I personally am like, I have to have at least a day off per week kind of guy.
For sure.
But if you're running, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a week, you're probably going to see progress more quickly. But, you know, I would say at least 2 months, but realistically, probably you're looking at to really see some tangible progress, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, again, depending on how often you're running, and maybe a little bit longer if you're not running quite as much. But you might find, you know, back to treating your easy runs as actually easy and not beating yourself up as much, you might find you're able to actually run a little bit more often by running easier because you're not feeling as worn out the day after a run. So maybe you're only, quote unquote, only running 3 times a week now, but you're like, gosh, I slow down, I feel good, I could run 4 times a week. I could run, if you have time in the schedule, of course, to run 4 or 5 times a week. So all that to say, it's hard to give an answer of how long you need. But I would say at least 3 months, probably 4, 5, 6 to really start to feel like you're seeing something. But the good news would be kind of like what I've noticed as well. You're probably not going to notice any real regression, even if you have a race, you know, in a couple months, 3 months, whatever, like you might not feel like you've made a lot of progress, but you're also like, well, I haven't slowed down at all. I feel good. Maybe you're even noticing I feel better after, you know, my Tuesday run than I used to. So maybe that could be the encouragement as well to stick with it.
Okay. So if they wanted to get started this weekend and they have a race in 2 weeks, that's okay. You might not see the results right away, but you're not going to hinder anything that you've already built up.
Yeah, absolutely not. And then the other thing that always, you know, gets some people, ruffles some feathers, but it's a hill I'll die on when it comes to heart rate training, is that the sensor on your watch is not accurate enough. Mm-hmm. It can be, but there's the studies from, you know, American College of Cardiology and some of the other, you know, legitimate journals show that the margin of error is, you know, plus or minus 20 to 30 beats either direction. So when exactitude kind of matters, having a window that, well, the, you know, I feel like I'm running easy and it says my heart rate's, you know, 220. Well, guess what? Your heart rate's not 220, but just because that's what your watch is saying. So get a heart rate strap. I know they're not always the most comfortable things and they can be a little bit annoying. But the margin of error there tends to be 1 or 2 beats, and we can work with 1 or 2 beats off one way or the other. So yes, it's an expense, and you don't have to, if you really want to kind of dipping your toes in, like maybe you can hold off on that. But if you're going to be serious about it, get the heart rate strap. Is again, I know they're not great. They're not comfortable. They're not ideal, but they're more accurate, and accuracy does matter.
Is there a difference between, because now they have the heart rate strap that goes around the top of your arm versus the chest strap? Are those comparable?
So as I understand it, and I'm not the absolute expert on the technology, but the heart rate strap that you wear around your chest, like, actually measures your heart rate. And like the watch and the bands that go across your forearm or your bicep or whatever, they measure blood flow. And so then they use some type of formula that says if they're measuring this much blood flow going through, the heart rate must be whatever it is. And so in theory, that is going to work out sometimes. A lot of times at higher levels of intensity, it gets to be a little bit off. So for us as heart rate trainers, if we're running kind of easy, like maybe we're still in that window, but there's also sometimes issues with skin color. So if you're darker complected, if you're African American, if you just have a tan, like that can impact the accuracy of the light that it's like a laser that shoots in and bounces back, and that's how they measure it. If you don't have it in the exact same spot every time, so like if you're like me and I don't like my watch super tight, so sometimes it's a little closer to my hand, sometimes it's a little farther up my wrist, whatever, that's going to give you a difference in variation of reading every day. So you can't even necessarily trust that, well, I'm always wearing it on my left wrist. Well, yeah, but is it always in the exact same spot? So again, like those other things can be good guides, but if you're really like, yes, I'm doing heart rate training, I want to keep my heart rate below whatever or in the zone or whatever, you're going to have more accurate results with the strap that's around your chest. It's actually measuring the electricity of your heart versus blood flow, which is, you know, similar, but not the same as a proper heart rate monitor.
Awesome. Thanks for that tip. I had no idea. I never really thought about the actual beating of the heart for the heart rate strap.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have any other things that you would like these listeners to know about heart rate training, even the low carb, high fat, anything that would help them transition because they're so excited to get out there and try this heart rate training?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing with both, I mean, you can make the argument with just about anything endurance training related is that, you know, we're, like it's a process and it takes time. And that's absolutely true for heart rate training. It's absolutely true for low carb if that's something that you're interested in. Or even if you're not trying to be super low carb with your diet, but you want to be more fat adapted, which is wonderful because you don't have to fuel as much. So you don't have less of a chance of, you know, late race GI issues because you're not choking down gels all the time, which I have a bias against gels just because I'm a textured eater. And I just like I can't get a gel down without just gagging myself halfway to death. So that's been another beauty of being more fat adapted is like, you know, I can fuel a little bit and, you know, a couple times with some Gatorade or whatever type of drink is or, you know, whatever and be good. But all that to say, you just be patient. You know, like if you're looking for instant payoff, like this stuff it's not going to provide the instant payoff. It's not going to be like, oh, I've been doing this for a week and like, my gosh, I'm running better than I ever have before. Like it takes time. It might, especially if you're slowing down, you might feel like your gait has changed. You're like, you're feeling really awkward. This too shall pass. You'll start to feel more comfortable. It'll feel more natural. You know, it's just part of that kind of learning curve or part of that adjustment to running maybe a little bit easier than what you have been and what's actually would be classified more as easy. But I think if you're in this sport, this lifestyle, and want to do it for, you know, my loose joke is I want to keep running until they put me on the ground. And like, I mean, sure. There's not really a joke to that. Like, that's really like, I want to be healthy and active as long as I'm on the earth. And if that means I'm a little bit slower when I run a race at 42, you know, small price to pay if I'm still playing with my grandkids 50 years from now. So, if you've got that long-term perspective in mind, I think that it makes it a little bit easier to embrace the process and work through the clunky feelings of the early days. And then once you start to get that little taste of like, wow, I feel better and my race times are improving or they're staying the same or whatever, you know, then it just kind of hopefully becomes something that, you know, you become as much of an evangelist as I am. And we can just, you know, yammer on about how great heart rate training is, you know, to everybody else, because, I feel like it's a message that it's counterintuitive. I mean, it really is. And so you just kind of have to keep hearing it and maybe try it a little bit. And then you start to see the proof and you're like, oh yeah, this really does work. Even though it doesn't make sense to run slower and race faster.
I know, but it works. It really does. It's funny that you say that because we do always want the instant gratification and patience is not necessarily a virtue for everyone. And you just have to get over that. I heard I think it was a comedian the other day, somebody said, I went to the gym, why haven't I lost weight? Well, you went to the gym 2 days this week and you've been putting on weight for 30 years. It's not, right. You know, it just doesn't happen. It's the same thing with the running. You have to be patient and it's going to take more than a day or two.
Right.
More than one easy run.
But again, if you've got that long-term perspective, then, I mean, I'd still rather things happen overnight than over months, but, you know, over months is a lot quicker than, you know, or at least is a small fraction of the next 50 years. So it's, you know, you have that perspective. Maybe helps. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Hopefully.
You know, any last words, any comments, concerns, questions that you'd like to send these people?
No, I mean, I think that it's been a pleasure. And I, like I said, I could talk about heart rate training all day. So if people have questions, I mean, not that, and I'm not pretending to be the absolute scholar and the end all be all, but I'll be happy to share my experiences and the knowledge that I have and resources and things like that. But ultimately have fun. I mean, you know, I think at least I know people that listen to my show, there's not too many of them that literally put food on their table based on their race results. And I'm assuming that probably most of the folks listening here, like running is an enjoyable thing. Even if you're trying to race hard and whatever, it's still something that should be fun first and foremost. And so if heart rate training really sucks the fun out of it, then there's other ways to train and there's other ways to train that are effective. But if you can embrace heart rate training and still find fun in your running, I think it's a great option for the runners with the long-term view. So good luck with it. And if you have questions, please reach out. I'm happy to talk anytime.
Thank you so much for that. I will put your contact info in the show notes. For those of you listening, please follow, share, and rate this podcast so others can find it too. And you can reach me at Carla@coffeecrewcoaching.com. The Over the Next Hill Fitness podcast, as well as on Facebook. And all of Denny's information will be in there as well. So please reach out for some coaching. If you need running or fitness coaches, we are here to help you. And have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Denny, for joining me, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Thanks, Carla. Bye.